Pastor Montgomery writes, when did the Lord first begin to deal with my soul? Is that a question that's ever crossed your heart? When exactly did I first to begin to believe? When did I actually become a Christian, a child of God? Pastor Maurice writes, says, I gave up trying to answer those questions a long time ago as being totally unimportant. George Whitfield once said, I have heard of a person who was in the company of 14 ministers of the gospel, some of whom were very intimate servants of Christ, yet not one of them could tell the time when God first manifested himself to his soul. Pastor Maurice goes on to say, it is quite sufficient to me that by the grace of God, I do believe in the Christ of Scripture. And as a believing sinner, I continue to pray for grace to continue to believe in Christ. Amen. Father, we ask that you would touch our hearts this morning. Touch our hearts, Lord, as only you can. We can't see the hearts of other men. We can hardly even see our own heart. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, as we go into your word, we cry out unto you. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Help us, Lord, when we're weak. Help us, Father, to turn away from the things of this world and to seek you, no matter what it costs to do so. For whatever the cost would be on this earth, it would be nothing compared to the terrible, terrible place that we deserve. Lord, open our eyes and our minds and ears to your word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you who were able to join us for Bible study, I will not apologize for what you're about to hear now, because God has placed this on my heart. And it's wonderful, absolute wonderful blessing for me to stand before you this morning and preach the same message that our brother just brought. We never talked. And I'll tell you what's wonderful about it is this: only God would do something like that. If you hear it once, okay. But if you hear it twice, you better listen up, huh? Right? Isn't that what it said in the scripture? Title for my message this morning is, Dost Thou Believe? Big question. Faith is a pretty strange thing, isn't it? David, the writer of the Psalms, he expresses it so well, the difference that we go through in faith and believing. In Psalms 22, he writes this. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is a man after God's own heart. A man chosen of God, as all of God's children are, from before the world was ever began. The Lord knew that David was going to write these words before he ever inspired him to write those words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Understand this, that this is definitely a Masonic psalm speaking of Christ when Christ hung on that cross. But this is also a man who is experiencing these very things. Just as you and I are right now experiencing what it was like to go through this message twice. Or what it might be like for us to be weak in the faith. Or what it might be like for us to be strong in the faith. Right after that psalm that Dave wrote, crying out, Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He then writes in Psalms 23, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Do you hear the faith of one of God's children crying out? And does this not represent you and I at times also? Pastor Gene and I were talking on the phone yesterday about the scripture in Isaiah where the Lord says, I create evil. That means trouble. You know, Israel fell into the captivity. Do you think that was outside of God's sovereign hand? You realize that the entire story that we read about Joseph, how his brothers threw him into a pit and then took him and sold him to the Ishmaelites, and then they took him down into Egypt and he was thrown into jail there, and all the stuff that happened to him, and then he was raised from that point and set as the king's right hand, the power of the king of Egypt, so that his dad and his brothers, when they ran out of food, would come down to him. This is all a story that was put together by God himself, and it was all put together before anything ever was created. It's called sovereignty. I know that word is not used in scriptures, but the entire Bible describes God Almighty as sovereign over everything. That's why he's called God. To have the title God means he rules over everything, including the wills of men. Faith is a strange thing, is it not? Sometimes my faith is very small. My belief, my trust, my confidence. Sometimes it's so weak that I feel like the Lord has left me, like the Lord has left my side. And then other times I see it as clear as bell that the Lord is right here with me, as he is always. It's so strong and peaceful, it just overflows me like a quiet river flowing in the soft meadow. All this trouble around us, not just the things that are going on in our little world, but the things that are going on in all the world, the things that are going on in our hearts. Are you troubled by your sin? I am. What about you? I ask you this morning, do you believe God? Turn, if you will, to the first chapter of John, chapter 5, please. The first book of John. First John, chapter 1. First, I'm going to get it right. Give me just a second. Truck driver takes a moment to think his thoughts out before he talks, usually. No offense. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. There we go. Folks, the most essential characteristic of a true child of God is this: dost thou believe? If you don't believe, then you have not been born again, and a true child of the Most High must be born again to believe. The truths of God, you see, are foolishness to the unregenerate person. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's speaking of the unregenerate, that's talking about what we all are when we come into this world. Our nature, the natural man, is sin. We don't sin because, or we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's the way we all come into this world. The natural man, all mankind who come into this world receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We were speaking Friday night about how we can look back and see how we once thought of God's Word, and we see the foolishness in our thoughts about it. The Lord's Word had nothing to do with John. John didn't have anything to do with the Lord's Word. I didn't want anything to do with that. Some people went to other religions, Catholicism or Jewishism or whatever. Seventh-day Adventism. I don't even know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying. It's not in our nature to come after God. See, our nature is dead in trespasses and sin. And dead men just don't get up and start walking. When one turns on the light in a pitch dark room and sees what's in that room, one knows the difference between that moment and the one they had just before. It was dark. You couldn't even see before your eyes. All of a sudden the light is turned on and you see the room and what's in it. That's what being born again is. All of a sudden, John can now look back and say, yes, I was dead. Yes, I was blind as a bat. Yes, I heard the truth preached throughout my life from either my stepfather or O.C. Harris or wherever, but I never had any attention to it at all. Why? Because I was blind. Once I was blind, but now I see. Do you believe the record, the testimony, the word given by the Almighty Creator? Read with me, if you will, 1 John chapter 5, verses 8 through 13. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. I'm sorry, verse 7, begin at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, verse 8, and the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, that he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Folks, this entire book, everything from cover to cover, is the record of God about his Son. In the beginning, God created the heaven and his earth, and he created men under the likeness of them. All three of them. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. This is the record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, we read this. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, I bring that out for this reason. Folks, we can't look at each other and judge. And I know, because I try to do that sometimes. So I know we do. But I can't read the hearts of anyone. Can't even read my own heart most of the time. Our Lord doesn't say examine all those around you. He says examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Do you believe God? It's a heart matter. Examine your inward heart. Don't examine others, for you can't see their heart. All you're going to see in others is the weaknesses of the flesh, and we all have that, don't we? This is a matter for us to search of our own hearts. Ask yourself this question: do I believe God? Do I believe all of God? Not just the parts that make me feel good about myself. Not just the parts that I want to believe because I think that's right. Do I believe God's word, every bit of it? Look at verses 10 through 12 again, if you would, please. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the record. This is the word. This is the testimony of God. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So let's consider 5 points of God's word to test ourselves whether we believe or not. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. And while you're turning there, allow me to say this: thus saith the Lord. In Romans 3, verses 11 through 12, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, wait a minute. I've stopped doing all that stuff I used to do. Now I've turned myself around. I'm a much better person than I was before. Isn't that what we hear from most pulpits in today's world? You can do better if you'll just do this. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. One of the most difficult truths of God's word to accept is the depravity of the unregenerate soul. It's foolishness to tell a man that he is dead, spiritually speaking. How can you say I'm dead? My heart's pumping. I can feel myself pinch me once or twice. I get up every morning. I'm breathing air. Don't tell me I'm dead. I'm not telling you you're dead. God tells you you're dead. Foolishness. Yet to one who has been given ears to hear, one who has had the light of glory turned on in their hearts, one who was once dead and been brought to life to see the truth in our depravity, thus saith the Lord. Look with me at chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. That means given life. That means made alive. Those that he made alive who were once dead, as it says, in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, who? We. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Those who are a true child of God will see this very truth. Once we were dead to the truths of God's word, once we walked in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our hearts, yet now we see clearly. And it is God who gives life. It is God who raises the dead. It is God who shines the light into a cold, dark heart. We've done nothing. We could do nothing. We were dead. And in the day of His love, He brought us under the preaching of His gospel. He crossed our paths with the servant of the Most High, and we heard the call of power. When Christ called out Lazarus, it wasn't just some weakly little call. It was Lazarus come forth. And I've heard this said before. If He had not used the word Lazarus, every dead human being would have come out of the grave at that time. That's the power of God. It's the same power that created everything. It's the same power that gives the new birth to men and women when the Lord comes to us in His love. Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He came forth bound by the grave wrappings. It's so hard for the natural man to see the truth of death and what we deserve. We deserve God's wrath. We have sinned against a thrice holy God, yet God has mercy on some. You see, this is the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, yet God has mercy on whom He will have mercy. That means He can have mercy on me. One who deserves hell more than anyone else. He works with me. He knows it. Folks, we all come short. Yet God has mercy. I'm here to tell you this morning the gospel, the good news is God has mercy. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Oh, how it bothers me to hear somebody say, God loved the whole world. Well, if that's the case, then how can anybody go to hell? If that's your God, I want nothing of Him. I want a God who stands by what He says He will do. I want a God who deserves to be called God because He is the creator of everything and the ruler of everything. Because He has loved us, because He chose us. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1, please, with me. According as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, in our Lord and Savior, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Woo! That's hard to see at times, isn't it? That's hard to see at times. You come around here when I've smashed my finger on a nail with a hammer, and you'll say, shake your head at that one. Father, thank You for loving us from before the foundation of the world. Thank You for making us holy and without blame before You by giving Your Son as our sacrifice. His love was set upon a people before the world began. It's called unconditional election. In Romans 9:11, we read it for this way, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. What? What was that? That means Jacob and Esau hadn't even been born yet, and the Lord has already set His mind? That's exactly what that means. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, not of our works, not of our will, not of our getting in the baptismal, not of us doing this, not of anything that we could do, but of Him that calleth. God chose a people before the world was created, and that people He gave to His Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. In John 6:37, we read it this way, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, He says, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Folks, salvation is not for all mankind. Many will go out of this life and enter into an eternity of fire and brimstone. A destination that we have all earned. A destination that we all deserve. But get a load of this. My God has taken what I deserve upon Himself. He has done what I cannot do. He has fulfilled the law perfectly for me because I couldn't do it. He has paid the price with His own blood because my blood is worthless. It's a destination that we have all earned, a destination that we deserve, yet there is atonement for some. Payment has been made for some. It's limited, though, to those that we just spoke of a moment ago. All that the Father giveth me. In Leviticus, we spoke of God's sheep. Mike brought that out in his Bible study. We spoke of God's elect, God's people. In Leviticus 20:24, we read this, "But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, the land that floweth with milk and honey." And then this comes right after that. All that the Father is going to bless this people with, all the things that the Lord blesses His people with. He says, "I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people." From the goats that Mike talked about. Jeremiah 30:22, it says it this way, "And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." There's no maybe there. Like you said, brother, there's no sheep going to be missing out on this at all. Every single one of them, no empty seats in heaven. Every seat will be fulfilled. Everyone for whom Christ paid with His own precious blood will be in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for eternity. Look at verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." We are His people by grace and by grace alone. Our sins have been put away by His sin-atoning death. Look at verse 6. "And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places." Where? In Christ Jesus, by His irresistible grace, by His irresistible call, by His holy calling, a call of power, the power of the Creator, we come unto Him, loving Him, because He first loved us. He makes us to sit. That means to rest. That's a picture of this. Sit down from your works. Stop doing what you're trying to do to earn yourself into the heaven and rest in Christ. That's what that means. Rest in Him. Consider all the things the world does to try to earn their way. Thousands and thousands of different religions. Some of you are familiar with some of the wild things that men have created in TV. You know, Star Wars. Aliens. I've sat and looked at that picture of that alien in Aliens, and man, what kind of drugs that guy must have been on to come up with something that far out. Or maybe it's just an imagination that God has given us to think about. Well, what makes any difference between all the religions that we create? We can create any kind of religion we want, and they have, haven't they? He makes us to sit. The God of Scriptures does not want for anything. If you stand before the people and you say that wait a minute. If you say that your God is trying, if your pastor or if the man standing before you says your God is trying, then your pastor is lying. The God of creation does not try anything. He does not want for anything. His desire is fulfilled. His purpose is not thwarted. Isaiah 45:5, we read this. He says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's God's word. Plain as can be, brother. You can't get any different. How are you supposed to interpret that? Exactly how it says. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. If God be for us, if this very one that we are reading about in Scripture, this very one that is spoken of from cover to cover here, if He be for us, then can anything separate us from the love that is in God and the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Absolutely not. Not even John Reed. You know how much that blesses me? Because God knows I try to all the time. Just like Jonah, I want to run off. I don't want to preach to those guys down in Nineveh. That's like going into a biker bar down in Sacramento and talking about Jesus down there. I know that's kind of funny, but serious, folks. That's what going to Nineveh, that was what that would have been like. I understand why Jonah ran. I also understand that he had to. That he was purposed to. And that it was all planned out exactly how our Lord would have it to be, so that when the Lord put Jonah on dry ground after dying in the fish's belly, Jonah would stand up before everyone and say, salvation is of the Lord alone. If God be for us, who can anything separate us from His love? Absolutely not. He calls us by His grace. He saved us by His grace. And He will keep us by His grace. Look at verses 7 through 8 of our text in Ephesians, if you would, please. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now, if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 10. I thought for a moment our brother Mike was going to go there. He went to all the other verses that we've had already. But that just confirms that this was the message to be preached this morning. I pray that our Lord may drive this last point home to the hearts of His sheep. I ask this question again. Am I a true child of God? Do I believe? Do I belong to Him? We're going to look at John chapter 10, but before I go there, allow me to read from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. That's a word most people want to look over and say, well, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Folks, that means everything. Whosoever. Our Lord sent His Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You see, the Lord had to come in the flesh. That was the only way He could go to the cross and die. Die for all of the whosoever. die for all of them that believe in Him, that they should not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 17 we go on to read, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." This is our natural, this is the natural man right here that this is talking about. This is the way we came into this world. Loving our evil deeds, including making ourselves to be gods. And that's what it means to say that your will, your decision, is what saved you. It's to say that your will is above God's will. It's not the God I read about in Scriptures. "This is the condemnation, that light come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Who do you believe in? Do you believe God? Do you believe God's word? Not just part of it, but all of it. Look with me at the beginning of verse 19 in chapter 10. Of John chapter 10, please. "There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings," these very sayings that our Lord was talking about. He declared who He was just before this. He had once again declared this very thing of who He was, what He would do, and where He would be after that. And yet these religious, self-righteous Jews could neither see nor believe the Lord of truth that stood before them. Look at verses 20 and 21. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. "And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" My question for you this morning is, do I believe? Now look with me, if you would, at verses 22 through 30. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and he said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." If you're God Almighty in the flesh, if you are the Messiah, tell us. Don't hide it from us. Tell us. Jesus answers him. He says, "I told you." He just did. Go back if you'd like to at your own time and read the full chapter of 10. "And ye believe not," he said. Now here's why. Or here's proof of what he's saying. He says, "The works that I do," all of the miracles that the Lord had performed, many people were able to see. You think it was what do you think those people were thinking when they saw a basket? The Lord's up on the hill, you got 5,000 people sitting on a knoll. All these people sitting around, and we're all hungry. Sit down. We'll take care of this. He's got one little basket. Can you imagine what people thought about? Ain't going to be nothing for you guys down at the bottom of the hill. Ain't going to be nothing left for me. I'm going to be starving here. And here comes the basket. Wow. Look at all, there's still food in this thing. You see what I'm saying? That was just one of the miracles that God performed right there in the flesh in Jesus Christ. That was just one. You know that blind guy who's been sitting down here at the corner all this time begging for food? Yeah, you know, he's not down there begging anymore. Really? Where'd he go? Well, he's up walking around. He sees now. What? How could he just all of a sudden start seeing? Christ proved over and over and over again who he was. just like these ones who saw the works, they would not believe it. Those works that bear us witness of him, as he says at the end of 25 there, but ye believed not. That's where we all were at one time, isn't it? Those of us who believe, we know. We know very well that we can look back at that time, which is clear as a bell, no matter how long ago it was, and we can see there was a time when we did not believe. Because ye are not my sheep, he says. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My last point is this. We are called in Christ, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We are made righteous in Christ. My Father, which gave them me, verse 29, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are kept, preserved in Christ. I and my Father are one. Salvation is of the Lord. Once again, folks, I have brought before you the gospel of God's sovereign, free grace. Grace in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And some may say that was a good gospel message, preacher. But how does that help me walk in this life? I need more than that. You preach that same message every week. This is a different week. I know that message. I know that message. I've heard that message. I know it. Why do I need to hear it again? How does it help me walk in this life? Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that we walk by faith, not by sight. Stop looking at yourself. All you're going to see there is the sin of the flesh. I'm not saying go about through this life and sin all you want. If you think that's what I'm saying, you don't know God at all. Go forth and be holy, for God is holy. But when you fail, and yes, Polly Mary, you will, just as I will, and just as Mike Loveless will, and Mike, all of us here this morning, when you fail, we have an advocate in heaven. Amen, sister. Look to Christ, and all these other things in life will fall into place. When you love the Lord because he has loved you, it opens your eyes to a whole new way to look at the world. I could be going just as crazy as many are about the things that are happening in this world, the election, the truths, the things that people say are this, that are lies, and the lies that people say are truths. It would drive me nuts, I think, if I hadn't had the Lord in my life right now. But because I know who he is, because I believe everything, including the evils of this world, are under his sovereign control, I can believe this: all things, all things are for the good to them that love God, to them that are called. Who cares about all that stuff? I got no reason to care about it. I got no reason to watch the news on it, even though I foolishly do at times. This world is not my home. My home is in eternity with my Lord and Savior. What about yours? Trust not what you see. Trust not the flesh. Yes, the road will be tough and there will be storms in our lives, but the Lord has promised I shall never leave you nor forsake you. We sing this song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, let's see, how does that go? Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Full on his wonderful face.
And the things of this world will turn strangely dim in the light and the glory of what?
Glory and grace.
Absolutely. Thank you, James. Thank you, Jim. Do I believe? A man was bringing his sick child to the Lord. And the Lord hollered out to him, if thou wouldest believe. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen. Stand with me if you would please and turn to